What are you mindful of? Are you mindful of the things of God or just the things of men? This morning we open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 to 23, where we find Peter rebuked by Jesus for not being mindful of the things of God. Matthew chapter 16, beginning with verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." And then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works." Now, in this brief exchange between Jesus and Peter, we catch a glimpse of something that is incredibly significant. We catch a glimpse of something that goes to the core of our being. We catch a glimpse of something that determines whether or not we're on the same page as Jesus. It has to do with our thinking. What was going on here? Well, Jesus was letting his disciples know that he needed to suffer. He needed to go through some things. In fact, he needed to go to the cross. He needed to die. And then he would raise from the dead again on the third day. But Peter began to rebuke Jesus and saying, "This isn't going to happen to you." And that resulted in Jesus telling Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You're an offense to me, for you're not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." So what are you and I mindful of? Are you mindful of the things of God, primarily, or the things of men? Do you think like a believer? Or do you, when it comes right down to it, many times think like an unbeliever, one that doesn't even know the Lord? Are you on the same page as Jesus, or would there be times when Jesus would need to rebuke us, saying, "You are a stumbling block to me"? God's desire is that we follow Jesus, but for that to happen, we need to think properly. The Bible says in Proverbs 23, verse 7, "As a man thinks in his heart, so is he." Wow. As a person thinks, so they are. You know, sometimes we wonder, why in the world do certain people say the stuff they do? And why do they do the stuff that they do? Well, in actuality, it has to do with what was going on in their mind. It has to do with what they were thinking. So there are two huge questions this morning. And the first one is, are you mindful of the things of men? And then the second one, are you mindful of the things of God? Sunday school, the teacher was telling the children how about God created everything, including human beings. And little Johnny seemed especially intent. And the teacher told him how Eve was created and how that Eve was created actually out of one of Adam's ribs. And so later in the week, his mother noticed him lying down as though he were ill and said, "Johnny, what's the matter?" And little Johnny responded and said, "You know, I have a pain in my side. I think I'm going to be having a wife." Well, we chuckle and say, little Johnny was just a bit off in terms of his thinking. But isn't that what the problem was with Peter? He was a bit off in his thinking. Or to be more precise, he was, as Jesus put it, more mindful of the things of men than the things of God. Now, before we consider what's involved in being mindful of the things of God, let's think a little bit about what's being mindful here, what's part of being mindful of the things of men. And I do that so that we might see the contrast between the two, because there's some dramatic contrasts that are pointed out in Scripture, and also so that we might see the importance of having renewed minds. First of all, there is a futility of the mind when the focus is on the things of men. Where do I get that from? Ephesians 4, verses 17 to 24. A futility of the mind. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have been taught, or if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, we'll talk about the need for having a renewed mind in just a little bit. But for now, please note some of the key phrases and words that were used to describe this futility of the mind. Understanding darkened, alienated from the life of God, ignorance, blindness of heart. What's going on here? Well, it's a spiritual brain scan, and it's highlighting some startling deficiencies and problem areas, is it not, with this spiritual MRI? Secondly, there is enmity with God when one is mindful solely of the things of men. Romans chapter 8, verses 6 to 8. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, how can you tell whether a person is carnally minded or whether they're spiritually minded? Do you have them stick out their tongue? Why don't you delete that from the video? It's not the most helpful thing, is it? Or do you take a blood sample and send it off to the lab? Or do you run through this big heavenly kind of meter thingamajiggy, like you're walking through the airport and getting scanned, and it'll have a light that flashes green or a light that flashes red? How is this determined? A lot of it has to do with behavior. For example, in the Corinthian church, Paul was saying that he was not able to talk to the folks as being spiritual people, but as carnal. He said, for there are envy, strife, and divisions among you. Are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Where one says, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? That's in 1 Corinthians 3 and 4. So the behavior, or the way the Corinthian church folks were acting, was actually a reflection of where they were at spiritually. It was actually a reflection of what they were thinking, what their minds were focused on. A third thing, they are enemies of the cross of Christ when their minds are fixed on the things of men. Notice in Philippians 3 now, Philippians 3, verses 17 to 19. Brethren, join me in following my example, and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. And then he goes on to call attention to the fact that our citizenship as followers of Jesus, as believers, is in heaven. But this, perhaps more than any other scripture, points out how that an earthly perspective or a mindset runs contrary to a heavenly perspective. And if people only are having their thinking, their minds influenced by a humanistic worldview or a perspective that is just of people of this age, then they're going to end up being at odds with the gospel of Christ. And so here again, we've got Jesus telling Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you're not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men." Now, let's move on then and look at the other question, which is huge as well. Are you and I mindful then of the things of God? Are we mindful of the things of God? Let's look at several things that are involved with us being mindful of the things of God. First of all, we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. I'm turning to Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, the same kind of thing was referred to in the Ephesians passage that we looked at a moment ago. There, Paul was speaking of putting off the old and putting on the new, but how was that process to take place? How does a person go from point A to point B? How does one develop a godly perspective? Well, according to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, last Monday I did what a lot of you have already done. I watched the movie Courageous. Now, the main characters in the movie are what? They're police officers. And they're working together very closely. And they're engaging with each other, not just on the job, but they're also engaging with each other in other kind of settings, backyard conversation and so on. Now, there's a rookie on the force that is a younger fellow who doesn't get it. He doesn't get it when some of his colleagues begin talking about the fact that they feel called by the Lord to pay more attention to their parenting, to being dads and fathers to their children, and how following the Lord more closely relates to being a parent. Now, if you fast forward in the storyline a little bit, the time comes when the rookie obviously has developed a different perspective. He has a change of attitude and a change of heart to the extent that he does what? He writes a letter to the young lady that gave birth to his child. You see, his child now already is 4 years old. It's been the 4 years since all this took place. And now he's writing and seeking forgiveness from this woman. And he is asking about the possibility of starting to be involved in the life of his child. And not only that, but included in this piece of mail that he sends is a check. I can't remember the dollar amount, but it was a significant amount, it seemed like, because he wants to begin assuming responsibility. And he wants to help with some of the expenses, evidently, that are involved with that. Now, how is it that there has developed a desire to not only make this contact, but to assume responsibility financially and exploring the possibility of then getting involved with his daughter? How is it that the rookie on the force suddenly is beginning to do stuff like that? Well, transformation happens by the renewing of the mind. When a person truly fixes their attention on God and His Word, they begin to think differently. They begin to think and consequently to act in a godly fashion. So we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Secondly, the mind of Christ is to be in us. I'd like you to notice what Paul wrote to the Philippians, Philippians 2, verses 5 to 8. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, he said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." In my personal devotions, about a week ago, there was a story told, actually Watchman Nee originally told the story, of a Chinese Christian who used to go to great pains to pump water from an irrigation stream into his rice field. Now, what was happening was that every night that he was doing that, his neighbor, whose fields were actually lower than his, made a breach in the dividing wall and would drain the Christian's water out into his own fields. And this theft was repeated frequently. So finally, the Christian decides he's needing to seek a bit of counsel regarding that. So he asks some of his friends for advice regarding the right thing to do. Now, in the next few days, the Christian filled his neighbor's field before he filled his own. The neighbor knew his acts were evil, and he was amazed at the Christian's non-resistance, and good won out over evil, and this neighbor soon became a Christian. He had observed, according to the story, a higher way. Isn't that amazing? If we're going to have a godly perspective on things, then we need to have the same kind of mindset or attitude that Jesus did. In other words, if we're going to be mindful of the things of God, then we need to consider the life, the teaching, the ministry of Jesus. "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps." 1 Peter 2:21. So, do you consider the teachings of Jesus when you're confronted with the issues of life? And do you consider the approach that Jesus would take when things come up? We're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We're to have the mind of Christ, or his that attitude, that mindset within us. Now, a third thing we're told in Scripture is this. We're to gird up the loins of your mind. Here's what's said in 1 Peter 1, 13 to 16. 1 Peter 1, 13. "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, for it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" Now, the MSG puts the first part of that passage, "So roll up your sleeves and put your mind in gear." Put your mind in gear. The goal is to live a life of holiness. The goal is to have a godly perspective. Then our minds need to be in gear. Now, what practically speaking, though, will help us? What practically speaking will help us to have our minds properly engaged? What will help us to gird up the loins of our mind? Well, we need to make sure that we have the right kind of input if we want to have the right kind of output. Somebody used the illustration of a sponge and Pepsi. Okay, so you pour Pepsi, or you immerse the sponge in a bunch of Pepsi and you wring it out. What do you have coming out of it? Well, 7-Up, of course. Well, of course not. You get the point. The Bible says whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, think on these things. things. Actually, it says meditate on these things. Philippians 4, verse 8. So, how about it? If you want to get right down to where we live, what kind of television programming is influencing your thinking day after day and week after week? What radio broadcasts keep going through your mind because you keep listening to that particular station and to that stuff? What's on your iPod? What's on your cell phone? What kind of books do you tend to read? Does all this stuff tend to, is it wholesome? Does it tend to promote godly values, or does it tend to promote worldly values, ungodly perspectives? Now, who do you seek counsel from when you're not sure what to do and where to turn? Do you seek advice from godly individuals or from unsaved individuals who have no perspective when it comes to the mind of Christ? Do you seek advice from mature Christians or from carnal Christians? Are you consistently exposed to the Scriptures? Is there a diet regularly from God's Word? And is it really that the teaching from the Bible is what most influences your thinking? I realize we're all bombarded by all sorts of things. But is the teaching from the Scriptures what most influences our thinking? Are you meditating on those things which are true, pure, and lovely? The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, if you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now, I don't know how you find this, but to me, this passage of Scripture that we're looking at this morning regarding Jesus and Peter has really jumped at me in a way it never had before. It's rather sobering to think that that kind of possibility exists. You know, to think of someone that closely involved with Jesus being rebuked for not being mindful of the things of God. And so I believe it's simply a reminder that we need to maintain a Bible-centered, a Christ-centered, and a Kingdom of God-centered focus. Functioning with a renewed kind of mind. Let's pray. Gracious God, we bow before you this day, thankful for the grace which you have poured upon us through Christ, through the cross, through your Spirit, through your Word. Thank you, Lord. But I pray that you would continue to the work of transformation in our hearts and in our minds. I pray that we could indeed, in the middle of a world that sometimes seems has lost its mind, Lord, could we think clearly and properly? And Lord, I know that that's not going to happen unless you continue to teach us. So, Holy Spirit, continue, Lord, to flow, to move in and through us. Open our hearts and, yes, our minds to truth from your Word. Help us to see things from your perspective. Help us, O God, to be your followers in a world where there is much darkness and alienation from you. May people see Christ. So we pray that wherever we're at, in classrooms, in places of work, at the mall, wherever. We could think the way you want us to think. Continue to be with us, Lord, as we worship. I pray you would also be at work at the Midway Church as I minister there. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you please stand and take your white hymnal? I want you to turn to